jokingly referred to my Jeep as, and working on it, driving it, whatever, as therapy sessions. Saw a post on Facebook the other day, said, Jeeps are like therapy, but only cheaper. And it says, just kidding, but they're a lot more fun. So there's been a lot of drives that I've taken in one Jeep or the other when I've had lengthy conversations with the Lord. Especially when I'm driving off the beaten path. And a lot of that is because I got to pray that this thing makes it to the end of the trail without falling apart. But one of my favorite things to do is to drive down the little fishing trail down here by the lake. I enjoy that quite a bit. I've gone down there and I just sit looking out over the lake, taking some time to pray, have a conversation with the Lord during that time. It's a very peaceful time of focus. It's often during those times when I get a little bit of clarity on a direction that we might be going with a sermon series or a particular sermon or some other thing that might be going on. Now, I say all that to say this. There are certain places where God speaks especially clearly. Do you have places like that? Maybe a favorite coffee shop, a vacation spot, a tree stand. I don't know where you hunt turkey. I've never gone turkey hunting, so I don't know what that looks like. Out in the yard. Okay. Maybe driving down some kind of country road or some, those are just some examples that come to mind, thinking about those places for you where God speaks especially clearly. The Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. It's another place where it's easy to hear from the Lord, and tens of thousands of people travel there annually. This spot, right here, where we're gathered together, is a place where many of us hear from the Lord. We return week after week after week with the expectation that God is going to move. With all this in mind, I want to introduce us to this intriguing concept this morning. It's a concept that I hope doesn't sound new agey or new thought. It's a concept called a thin place. It's a Celtic term. And the ancient Celtic Christians believed that there were places in our world where the distance between heaven and earth were thin or they collapsed. It was easier to encounter God and experience His presence there more than any other place. Here's what I mean. I'm going to try and give a physical example of this. Neurosurgeon Dr. Brian Hofflinger describes a brain aneurysm as a weakened area in an artery wall that acts like a thin, bubbled-out patch on a garden hose or a balloon. Over time, this thinning dome becomes fragile and can rupture under pressure. These thin places are like these aneurysms that have a significant amount of blood pressing up against them on that one spot, creating this bubbled out area. At the end of the day, it's a poor comparison, but I hope it makes a little bit of a connection. Thin places become thin because people gather and they sing and they pray there and they anticipate hearing from God. Lots of prayers and praise have been prayed behind the wheel of one of our Jeeps. Lots of prayers and praise have been prayed in this building, in this very room. It's likely more prayers have been prayed at the Wailing Wall than anywhere else on earth. So in this fourth message from our Psalms for All Seasons series, I want to talk to you today about the thin place. It's what the psalmist was expressing in Psalm 122 when he said, I rejoice with those who said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. So if this is the first time you've been here, For the last several weeks at least, we've been walking through various psalms that meet us in each season of life. And this one is one of those because, oh man, how we need to hear clearly from God in every season of our lives, right? From Psalm 1, we learned about making every season a season of happiness and fruit by reading God's word. Psalm 23, we learned about God's provision in every season. Psalm 78, we learned about our next generation obligation and the importance of passing on our faith and belief to the next generation. Throughout this series, we've learned all kinds of things about the Psalms themselves. There are psalms of thanksgiving and psalms of lament. There are wisdom psalms and enthronement psalms. And toward the end of the book of Psalms, there are psalms the ancients sang as they were traveling up to Jerusalem. Those psalms are called the Psalms of Ascent. Not ascent, ascent, ascending. And it's here in the ascent that we learn more about the thin places. In the book of Exodus, God taught the Israelites to celebrate a festival in my honor three times a year. This is Exodus 23. Observe the festival of unleavened bread. Also observe the festival of harvest and observe the festival of ingathering at the end of the year. Three times a year, all your males are to appear before the Lord. So for 1,000 years, the Jews from all over the nation gathered three times a year in Jerusalem to pray and worship God. They would come from all over Israel, from every direction. They didn't have radios, they didn't have iPhones, they didn't have video games or anything to occupy their minds while they traveled. So, over time, they developed songs to sing on their way up the road. And since Jerusalem at the top of Mount Zion is sitting at 2,700 feet, they had to walk uphill to get there. So they called these songs the Psalms of Ascent. In all, there are 15 Psalms of Ascent. Psalms of praise and Psalms of lament are strewn seemingly randomly throughout the book of Psalms. But the Psalms of Ascent are all together in one clump, and that's Psalm 120 through 134. Our Psalm of Ascent this morning, Psalm 122, is also a song of triumph. That's what we're going to find in Psalm 122. A triumph because trust was placed in the right person, in the right place, with the right people, for the right purposes. Here's the story leading up to Psalm 122. All right, it's getting towards the season of one of the feasts. The people are thinking about how hard life is, and that's Psalm 120. But they know there's a place they're about to go where they can meet with God, a thin place. And that encounter is going to make all the difference. That's Psalm 121. So they start walking. And they walk, and they walk, and they walk, and they walk. It's like Frodo and Sam on their way to Mordor. They're walking and walking and walking. From the north, the south, the east, and the west, they come. They walk, they sing, and finally they arrive. And this is the story of Psalm 122. Here it is, starting at verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There, thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this psalm. And thank you for this place where we praise, we pray, and we anticipate your movement. Lord, open our hearts to hear from you this morning. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So David writes, "I rejoiced with those who said to me, 'Let's go to the house of the Lord.'" How many of y'all say that on Sunday morning? Let's go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Are we in the house of the Lord? Good. All right. He knows about this place where God dwells richly. Right? He knows when he gets there, he's going to meet with God and God's people. He's going to be inspired. He's going to be encouraged. Just the thought of it gets him excited. Do you get excited when you're getting around for church on Sunday morning? Or is it, man, here we go again. Got to get my shoes on. I got to put my nice clothes on. Can't wear my messy boots. Great question. Why not? I'm a simple guy. I have one pair of shoes. I wear these all the time. And I will wear these until they wear out and I've got to buy another pair. That's not 100% true because I have another pair of shoes at home that I use specifically for working out. Because these don't tie. I like slip-ons. They're easy. But you can't wear slip-ons when you're running or doing cardio work, right? Because your feet will come flying out. But we think about, you know, getting ready to go. It's like, I got one pair of shoes. It's easy for me. Some of you guys, sorry, it's not so easy. But I don't know if it's complicated, because if you know what clothes you're going to wear, maybe you know what shoes go with what clothes you're going to wear. And maybe it's not that daunting of a task to go, let's get ready to go to the house of the Lord. Maybe it's just, we're done, let's go. So, David's excited about going to the house of the Lord. He gets there and he writes, and now we're here, our feet are standing within the gates. Maybe you're excited when you leave the house. Do you get more excited when you get here? Some of you guys got a little bit further to go than what we do. But does your excitement build as you get closer? It's like, all right, we're almost there. We're almost there. We're getting there. Let's do it. So David looks around at the city and its walls. It's well built, he says in verse 3, solidly united. He looks from the walls and the buildings to the people. Verse 4 says, this is where my people, my tribes meet. It's the place where authority is. Thrones for judgment were set. Thrones of the house of David, in verse 5. If this place can thrive, David is saying, the whole world will thrive. So pray for peace of Jerusalem. And he gives a blessing. At the end of verse 6 and in verse 7, may they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. He's praying for peace and security. The word peace, or the word for peace, is shalom. The word for security is shalwa. Shalom means complete well-being within you. And shalwa means security around you. So this is internal and external. Peace and security. He's praying for peace within the hearts of the people of Jerusalem and peace around the physical city of Jerusalem. When you go to the house of the Lord, you get peace inside you and peace around you. After experiencing the house of the Lord, David concludes the psalm with, you know what? I feel so great right now. I'm not going to worry about myself anymore. I'm going to do something for someone else. Specifically, I will seek your good. I will pursue your prosperity. I will seek for your benefit. I will chase it down. And that's what happens when you go to the house of the Lord. That's what happens when you go to church. Your eyes turn from focusing on yourself to focusing on others. Hopefully. You have less worries, so you can work on other people's worries. Psalm 122 is the story of David going to the house of the Lord, the thin place in his country. So David found out some things about thin places. He starts out in trouble in Psalm 120. And we see things like, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. He's saying, when I'm in trouble, I need to go to the thin place. I'm going to the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 120. In Psalm 121, he starts on his way and he knows exactly where he's going, because once you've been to the thin place, you know where it's at. Once you've been here, you know where it's at. I go back to this all the time because it's so impactful to think about when we were before the insanity of 2020, and we were working with Parents for Positive Changes, and we were doing the food boxes out here in the lobby, and the people would come in and they would line up to get food boxes. I lost count on the number of people who said, "I didn't know there was a church here." Really? But if you think about it, how often do you drive around town, pick a town, thinking about where the churches are? You don't, do you? Nobody drives around town going, "I wonder where the churches are." Unless they're intentionally looking for a church. Usually when I go to a town, I'm curious on a few things as I'm approaching this town. How big are they? Are they big enough to have a Walmart if I need it? Where's the police department? If there's not one in town, who's the closest law enforcement? Where's the gas station? Those are the primary things that a person thinks about when they go to a town. Now, I didn't say I'm thinking about the church, because in my current context, when I go teach security to a church, I know where the church is at. I'm going there. But your average person is not thinking about the location of a church. So there might be, I couldn't tell you how many camera notifications I get every day of cars driving up and down this street, probably 75 minimum. And that's just because of the way that I have the settings on the cameras. So there might be 150 cars that drive by on this street every day. The likelihood of any of them thinking that, "Oh, there's a church," is like 1% tops. You're more likely half of a percent of the people that are driving by are thinking, "Oh, look, there's a church." But once you've been here, you know where it's at. You can basically, if you had autopilot on your car, it could take you here. Right? Anybody ever have autopilot moments? You back out of your driveway, and maybe you're going to Merkel's, and you end up, your normal route is to go like Dollar General first. So you back out of your driveway, and then you're like halfway to Dollar General going, "Oh, I was going to Merkel's." Whoopsie. I've done that a lot. I've also been so much on autopilot that I've missed stop signs. But, you know, that's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and there's no traffic, and I was the only person out on patrol, and I'd be 3 blocks away going, "Did I stop at that stop sign?" It's just an autopilot going on. So basically what David's saying here, David's going to church. Now, it's not the exact same context of church as what we experience today, but he's going to church. Once you've been, you don't forget, because you've heard from God there. You've met with God there. It's a place where heaven comes close to earth. In David's day, the place to meet with God was the tabernacle in Jerusalem. He lifted his eyes toward the mountains because the tabernacle was up there. That's Psalm 121. In Psalm 122, David arrives in Jerusalem and confirms what he already knows. And it's that location matters. God is everywhere. Okay? You can meet with God anywhere. You can meet him. You can meet with him in your bed. You can meet with him in your living room. You can meet with him in your pajamas. He's everywhere and he's always available. But we are located in bodies. And where our bodies are located makes a difference to us. When we go to the pool, you feel like swimming, right? You go to the lake, Maybe you feel like fishing. You go to the gym, you're going to work out. You go down to revival, coffee, you're going to drink coffee. Your location matters, and some locations are better for encountering God than others. That's part of why so many of us get depressed when we're stuck at home. We're made to be together. We're made for church. We're made to gather. We're made to gather with others in sacred spaces to worship and experience God together. God inhabits the praise of His people, and we give Him praise here. You can worship the Lord anywhere, but places where people meet together to do so are usually thinner places because God's Spirit dwells deeply in them. I think of places like houses of worship. Churches are thin places. And if you think about that aneurysm concept where blood is pressing on one part of that artery. Think about the praises of people pressing upward toward God. Right? If we were all to stand like underneath a balloon, you remember the parachute game that kids play? So if that was tightly strewn all over the top of us and we were all gathered together in the middle and we were all pressing up, y'all would have to stand on a chair. But we're pressing up. It's getting thinner where everything is pressed up, right? So that's church. Those are thinner places because one, God's Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is there within us. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered, I will be with them. These are thin places. And David, while writing Psalm 122, found that not only does our location matter, but together matters. Together matters. Verses 1 through 4, again, says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There's a lot of us and our in there, right? David doesn't say, I rejoice with those who said to me, let me go to the house of the Lord. It's not my feet we're standing within your gates. It's our feet. Where the tribes, the Lord tribes, go up to give thanks to the name of the Lord. That's an ordinance for Israel. Gather together, give thanks to the Lord. It's a commandment. We got to do it. We got to meet together. In Hebrews, we're taught, don't forsake the gathering together, the fellowship of other believers, as many do. When we meet together, we do it as a tribe or as tribes. Israel was made up of 12 tribes. For most of the year, they lived in their own territories by tribes or families, if you will. God knows the power of diversity and the power of togetherness. So in Exodus 23 and in Exodus 34, in Deuteronomy 16, God commanded all 12 tribes to gather together to meet with Him. There's power in being together. In ancient Israel, gathering together for worship was so powerful, it created a thin place on the Temple Mount, a thin place that lives on still today, which is part of why the Wailing Wall on the western side of the Temple Mount is such a powerfully thin place. Look, y'all, we need the church. We need each other. We need the house of the Lord. We desperately need a thin place. Everybody needs a thin place. Everybody needs a place to encounter God in the midst of God's people. David said, I was so glad when someone said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Everybody needs a place to encounter God in the midst of His people. And by God's grace, this place is a really good place to do that. Amen? Yeah. I'm going to give you an assignment. Your mission, if you choose to accept, It's not an impossible mission. It's an assignment. Number one, don't take this place for granted. Come as often as you can. Come ready to encounter God. Look around you. Take just a moment. Your neck will turn. It's all right. Look around. Look around. Look around. Don't take these people for granted. We're your people. Everybody needs a people. Even introverts like me need a people. God's power is present when we get together. Third, pray about a couple of people that you can invite to join you. I can invite people all day long. They're more likely to show up if you ask your friends as opposed to me. Because I'm just a dude. I'm still the new guy in town. All right? I will probably forever be the new guy in town. My former boss lived in Bolivar for 40 years. And he still was not considered a Bolivarite. His wife was, because she was born there. But he never will be. His kids are, because they were born there. He won't be. That's just how strange that town is. But that's small town living too, right? I might be here for 40 years. I will still be the new guy. But we still need a people. And you still have people around you that you can invite to join you. The people that have come because I've invited them are people that I've developed a relationship with. It's not your friends. It's people that I've developed relationships with, I've become friends with. Hey man, come to church with us. It's a pretty simple assignment. I'm going to give you some extra credit. If you have a thin place in your life, spend some time there this week. Pray, meditate, meet with the Lord. If you don't have one or can't think of one, spend some time this week thinking about that. Where can I go to meet the Lord? Maybe you like to go camping, and there's a particular spot you like to camp, where you feel especially connected to the Lord. Maybe it's a trail, a local park, a bike ride, Sunday afternoon drive. God is in those places. But maybe it could become your space to meet Him. Man. We need places that we can meet with the Lord specifically. Amen? Because this world is insane. Right? Amen. My goodness. I sold our pop-up camper, so maybe now I can delete Facebook. But... It irritates me, and it because it's just such chaos and such division. Oh man! So we were in Joshua this week. During the workshop, and let's see, here we go. Joshua 5, starting in verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. This means the dude is ready to attack. Okay? And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Let's put that in today's context. Are you a Republican or a Democrat? Listen to the response of verse 14. And he said, "No." He said, "No." But I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. Who is the commander of the army of the Lord?
God.
Jesus. This is pre-incarnate Jesus talking to Joshua. And Joshua says, are you for us or are you for our enemies? He says, no, because you both stink. I am the commander of the army of the Lord. I am for God. Man, that is impactful. That was, I don't know how many times I've read Joshua, but that was the first time it reached out and slapped me like that. No, I'm not for you. I'm not for your adversaries. I'm for me, God says. God has orchestrated a lot of really awesome stuff. And the greatest thing in the world that he has orchestrated for us is our salvation. Right? The greatest thing in the world. We can have a cure for cancer, which would be awesome, right? A solid 100% effective, very little to no side effect. Cure for cancer. It's done. It's over with. Nobody's got to deal with it anymore. Hallelujah. Great work. Good job, doctors. Not as cool or not as impactful, not as important as what God has done for us to give us salvation.
Amen.
Our sin kills us harder than any cancer. Did you hear that? Our sin impacts us more than any cancer. Cancer sucks, by the way. I'm not trying to diminish cancer, but what I'm saying is our sin is worse. Because our sin destroys a great relationship between us and our Creator. And there's nothing that we can do to fix that on our own. If I cheat on my wife, I could tell her I'm sorry. Dear, is that going to fix it?
Maybe after we have a little bit of encounter with the black belt.
After she whoops me in sparring, maybe I'm sorry will be enough.
It's going to take some action.
But it's going to take some action. But think about it. My GPA when I left college was 0.0765 or something like that, okay? That was after my freshman year of college and a lot of parties and a lot of failed classes, okay? In my undergrad, there is absolutely no way I could go back and I could take undergrad classes for the rest of my life. I will never, ever, 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 ever have a 4.0. And my undergrad. Never going to happen. Because 0.0765 is in my past. And it doesn't matter how perfect I am throughout the rest of my life, I'm never going to have that perfect GPA. Now, the cool thing is when I went to get my master's degree in security, it's clean slate. I left that one with a 4.0. But if you aggregate that into my other one, still not anywhere close. I might get close. I might be able to work up with enough classes and enough time and enough A's to like a 3.99999. Still not going to be a 4.0. Because that sin has stained me so. There's only one way that we can remove the stain of sin in our life. And that is Jesus. That is the work of Jesus on the cross. He is the one who paid the price for our sin so we wouldn't have to pay the price for it. And when we are covered in his blood, we are seen as perfect in the eyes of God. If you don't have that, if you're not seen as perfect in the eyes of God, that means that you have an eternal destination that is called hell. And you will spend eternity in that place. And it's not going to be, I'm going to kick back with my buddies in hell, or we're going to drink beers all the time. It ain't nothing like that. The phrase, I'll see you in hell. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm more convinced that hell is solitary confinement for everyone. For everyone. I don't think we see anybody but Satan. That's what I'm convinced of. Because if I can go see my buddies, what kind of hell is that? If I can go see my family members, what kind of hell is that? I'm convinced that a solitary confinement where, what is the worst thing, what's the worst feeling that you have? Is it, yes. That's a true statement. But when you think about the things that you do, do you enjoy being alone a lot? Yep. Look, I'm an introvert, so I got to get some alone time to recharge. But once that battery's recharged, I'm like, okay, I got to go talk to somebody. If I got to spend a day by myself, I'm going to go nuts. So it's that solitary confinement, that solitude, like perpetual by myself, it just stinks. But when we have Jesus, we're never alone. Amen? Amen. Because we're indwelled with the Holy Spirit, right? So we have Jesus who pays the price for our sins, so we don't have to experience the thing that we deserve. I saw a bumper sticker this week that said, I hope you have the day that you deserve. Oh, that stinks. Because, man, if life was fair, we'd all be hanging on a cross. But Jesus did it for us. And if you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, let today be the day that you would surrender your life to Him. And if you're believing for the first time today, then let me know. We want to celebrate with you because, man, that's such a joyous, joyous thing. I won't ever do the every head bowed, every eyes closed, raise your hand thing because there's no celebration in that. Let's celebrate together. All right? The Lord is calling you to salvation, come. If the Lord is calling you to membership here, come. If the Lord is calling you to serve in ministry in some way, come. As Devon plays and we take a moment of response, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that you've given it to us, that we have it available to teach us, to rebuke us, to guide us as we go about our days. Thank you for what David wrote in Psalm 122. Man, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. We thank you that you've given us this place, that we can hear from you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.